Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
So you take a lasagna.
Okay.
And then you put some spicy Italian sausage in the middle.
In the middle.
In the middle. And then you take a second lasagna and you put it on top of it.
Okay, so the middle is the top of the first lasagna.
Correct.
Okay, so make lasagna, add cooked spicy Italian sausage, slap another lasagna on top.
And then I don't know how you want to garnish the top, but it should look pretty.
It should look pretty. And that would only be one lasagna. No matter how many lasagnas you stack, you always end up with one lasagna.
Or a mess.
Which is a lasagna.
That's true. You gotta get a very deep dish to house this lasagna.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mega lasagna.
It is. You need like a spring pan.
A spring pan would probably
work. Or several spring pans like stuck together.
Yeah, it's a contraption.
Yeah, I think that's valid. You'd have a round lasagna, but I'm down. I've never had a round lasagna.
No, you want a round lasagna?
I mean, if we were using spring pans, but you're stuck on round lasagnas.
This is interesting.
They don't make round noodles, but I think you could fashion it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can.
I think so.
I'm willing to.
It's like a bunt lasagna.
It's exactly that.
Okay.
I do like me a good mega lasagna.
Sounds
like something Godzilla would fight.
I feel like whenever you have lasagna, it's at a time where you're like, I am hungry. Like, yes. I want to eat this fucking lasagna. So you're not like, I'm in for a little bit of lasagna. I think a little bit of lasagna. You want a Garfield amount of lasagna.
Yeah, you want to just put that whole pan in your face.
Absolutely.
Garfield and friends. Boop, 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 boop. The fun never ends.
I liked Garfield and Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rooster was a dick.
Rooster was a dick.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
That's not true. The lamb was the lamb was fine.
Lamb was good. There was a brother and sister lamb. Brother and sister.
Oh,
lamb.
That's right. There was two lambs.
Two lambs, yep.
Two lambs.
And there was the duck with the inner tube.
Wade.
Wade, yeah. So you remember more than you thought.
Good name for a duck.
Yeah. Wade the duck.
Yeah.
And Orson the pig.
Orson was a pig. He was the leader.
He was. He was kind of like the Garfield of the End Friend segment.
He was bossy.
A little bit.
He was like very Cyclops, you know, in the whole.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Anyways, we're here to talk about movies. I don't know if
believe it or not. In case you missed that when you walked in. Well, I thought they were talking about lasagna and old cartoons.
We were. And they're probably all on Tubi.
They probably are.
But we got movies. I got two. You got two. Would you like to go first or would you like for me to go first?
I'll go first.
That's probably the right move.
And this is the first of two from Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge, where the alphabet gets challenged.
It does. This is 1984. This is the letter R from Jared's Alphabet Challenge. It is Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah. I bet this is problematic.
The time has come. Mark my words. The time has come for Revenge of the Nerds.
Ooh,
watched this. Yeah, that's the song. I watched this on February 4th of 2024. It is 1 hour and 30 minutes, Tim.
Wow, the perfect runtime.
That's right. It is a comedy. This apparently, my secretary has it down as a comedy thriller. Directed by Jeff Canu, starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, and Julia Montgomery. Your movie summary here at Adams College, a group of bullied outcasts and misfits resolve to fight back for their peace and self-respect.
Okay, before I get into it, I have to address some really, really, really problematic things.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot in this one.
There are two very specifically that are pretty rough. At a point, they break into the girl sorority and they set up video surveillance equipment so they can watch them naked.
Yep.
That's bad.
That's bad.
It gets worse in that they distribute the images that they have captured to the entirety of the campus at a charity pie booth. That's at the bottom of each pie is a nude picture. That is not okay. I just want to be clear that I do not find that to be okay, and it translates extremely poorly. And the fact that this is something that the nerdy group uses to benefit them is even more horrendous in terms of writing. And on top of that, there's a very problematic scene where one of the main characters pretends to be one of the jock characters in order to sleep with the lead female character. That is also very much not okay.
Dressed as Darth Vader?
It's a very knockoff ape-looking Darth Vader mask
that
they have. Yeah, I imagine it's probably like a really cheap prop, but this was Fox that distributed it, I think, and they have the rights to only the first Star Wars film.
Oh, awesome.
New Hope, the fourth Star Wars film, technically. And I just, none of those things that are revolve around the sexual either distribution or taking advantage of someone are okay. We fully acknowledge that. Those two parts do sadly leave a taste too. It's not like they can get, sometimes there's like a rough joke, but it like they kind of pull it off, or you kind of shrug it away. These ones are rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think, isn't the joke that he's the better at sex because all he does is think about it.
Yes. It's it's a one-liner that's supposed to, and it's wretched. And it's like, okay, this is still, the fact it's like a plot point and like she ends up realizing that nerds are okay because they can, it's like so hollow and thin that it just kind of leaves a bad taste in what is some other stuff that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of racial things in this one as well. A lot of anti-homosexual sentiment in this. It's rough. I will say that. It is an enjoyable movie around those things and kind of in spite of those things, but none of that adds to the movie. And the movie in this modern time of 2024 upon recording has to jump through a lot of hoops to get past these really kind of wretched and nasty little sentiments. But this was the 80s sex comedy. This typified what happened in movies like Porky's that popularized it. And they just, what did you do? We pushed the boundaries. We made it more and more dastardly, more and more unexpected, more and more gross. But this was a independent movie for the most part that got picked up and ended up like blowing up with the start of MTV.
Sure.
It was huge. And this movie oddly overlapped with Harvey Pekar because of his acquaintances being popularized when he started to pick up steam, and all of this kind of coalesced into one big, like, oh, this is a big nerdy kind of thing. And it got popularized because of that. But unfortunately there are a lot of flaws here, but it's exactly what it sounds like. I think that John Goodman is great in this movie as the coach.
He's very good as the coach.
It's really, really funny. I think the leads are all really compelling and interesting, and you feel for them. I think there's some really good moments here. This kind of like concept of them trying to find a new house and come together makes, I think, people who are ostracized feel like they belong together, and you can kind of see why, and it's believable. Right. It's just the negatives that come to impact the movie that feel kind of gross, and I feel bad that a bunch of my reviews for this is trying to walk through this minefield of, you know what I mean, sexual not okayness. But that is the truth. And there is a lot of funny around this. Like, there is still a lot of insensitivity, but some of the jokes that are insensitive, it's supposed to be showing the ignorance of the characters.
Right.
And so you can get away with it. Like, there's a part where they put on Swing Low, Sweet Chariot for the group from Lambda, 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 it's a black brotherhood. And they put that, the white character puts that on thinking they would enjoy it. It's a crass joke.
Yeah.
But it, at least you can excuse and go, oh, this ignorant white person really thought that would be a good idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, you could almost talk your way around it. You can't. You almost could try. Right. But then you get to the other stuff that's even worse. And you're just like, all right, not great.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a shame. There's a lot of body shaming. There's a lot of, like, it's just, the problem is it just where, and that's when I was watching, I was like, damn, this movie just does a lot. So, it does a lot well, but there's so much here that is not great.
Yeah.
The use of, like, a lot of, like, Asian derogatory sentiment. Like, it's just, it's rough. It's rough. There's no way to say it. It's still, if you watched it and you have a fondness for it, I think there's still things that you'll enjoy from it. Right. And I will still give it a favorable score because I grew up on this movie. And I definitely think that as a geekier kid, this was a movie that made me feel more connected to other people. It made me think that I wasn't alone. So it does have some importance to it underneath of all the trouble that it brings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to leave the tightrope now, Tim, and get to the scores.
All right.
6.6 out of 10, says IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 41 of them give it 71%.
Okay.
The audience, 50,000 plus, give it 73%.
Okay.
And I'm right in the middle with a 7.5 out of 10. I think if you have a fondness for this movie, it's great. If you have not seen this movie and you want to try to visit it, just prepare yourself.
Yeah, just know what you're getting into.
Yeah, you're getting into some 80s bullshit.
The minute you said it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, some 80s bullshit. So please, take the wheel.
I'm going to take the wheel as only I can with a made-for-TV movie.
Oh. It's
been a while since we've done that.
Yeah.
Didn't know that when I picked it, but I start watching and I'm like, ooh, this has to be like made-for-TV. Like, this is not great. It does not look good. 1972's Moon of the Wolf. Moon of the Wolf. Watch the 29th. Isn't that fun? 29th of February.
Moon of the Wolf. That's Garfield and Friends. Throwback.
Everything should just be Garfield and Friends. I can't argue that. This is an hour 15. It's horror thriller. Directed by Daniel Petrie. I want to guess is how that's said. Starring David Janssen, Barbara Rush, and Bradford Dillman.
Hmm.
Your IMDb movie summary. After several locals are viciously murdered, a Louisiana sheriff starts to suspect he might be dealing with a werewolf.
You know, I think it's a werewolf.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here, Sheriff.
This movie's weird. It has a traditional Universal monster style werewolf when he finally shows up. It's a lot of who is it, and I predicted who it was pretty quickly. Once you meet a handful of people, you're like, it's that guy.
Yep.
It's one of those.
Okay.
Scooby-Doo. It's a Scooby-Doo. Okay. Yeah. But like poorly acted, and everybody has awful accents, and it's really hard to understand them. Like they were recorded poorly.
God.
I'm just like, what are they even saying? You know, the words on the top on the TV screen, they're just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what they're saying.
Gibberish.
Yeah, the captioning, and they're just like, speaking global language, I think.
It could also just be it could have just been upscaled directly from TV poorly.
It could be.
So there could be some loss there.
It does a couple things good. It's a creative enough thing, but it's not going to be anyone's favorite werewolf movie. David Janssen would go on, I think, the next year or the year after to star in The Fugitive, where he plays Dr. Richard Kimball, which was huge. I love The Fugitive. The show was fantastic. This is right before he breaks out. And Barbara Rush also, she's done a couple of things as well. But like, I don't know. I just can't spend a lot of time on this.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of meat on the bone here. Yeah.
Very paint by number. Like, I was happy by some of it. And like, the werewolf looks okay.
Right.
But they're just ripping off a bunch of things we've seen before. When they start to fight the werewolf tries to break into this mansion to get this one specific girl and murder her. And that's kind of cool. Like, the set pieces are cool, but it's just somebody had a cool house for them to wreck. They set a barn on fire. That was kind of fun. But really, there's nothing here.
There's nothing here.
Bum, 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 bum. Go watch The Fugitive. Yeah, like the film itself looked so bad. I was like, is that the guy from The Fugitive? Like, I just could not tell. I'm like, I think it is.
I can't hear his voice either.
The point of him, I think, was just to have his chest hair out.
Oh, sure. Do you see a werewolf? Look at that chest hair.
Yeah, that's what my wife said. My wife's like, holy shit, look at that chest hair. Isn't that nice?
It's all mane.
It is. But yeah, sadly, that's it. So IMDb.
That's it.
That's it. That is it. 5.1.
Uh-huh.
There is not a score in for the critics at Rotten Tomatoes. There is one, but it does not qualify as a score. 500 plus for the audience. Watch this. That is shocking. They gave it 15%. Mm. It's not that bad from a movie standpoint, but if they were critiquing how bad and hard it was to actually watch this thing...
I mean, that's important to me, watching and hearing a film.
For sure. So I can totally forgive.
I mean, we've definitely left a few reviews with, it was in focus, I guess.
Yes, for 100%. The wife gave it a 4.5. I gave it a 5.5. It's largely a creative, different werewolf plot that I hadn't seen, although it's not super amazing. But,
All right. I got a movie.
Yeah, you do.
It is 1982.
The second best year of the 80s.
Second best year.
That's exciting.
That's why there's a two in it.
Yeah.
It is The Secret of Nim.
Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I like this one.
Watch this February 6, 2024. It is 1 hour and 22 minutes. It is a family movie, apparently. directed by Don Bluth, starring Dom DeLuise, Elizabeth Hartman, and Derek Jacobi. It also happens to be letter S for Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge. Alphabet Challenge. See what I did there?
I did. Garfield and friends. So the summary for this one is, to save her ill son, a field mouse must seek the aid of a colony of rats with whom she has a deeper link than she suspected.
Yes, this animation is awesome.
This is Don Bluth. If you're not familiar with Don Bluth.
You should be if you're following this podcast.
You should be. And there are also podcasts dedicated entirely to the works of Don Bluth. So, I mean, you can definitely check out lots and lots about him. But he was an animator for Disney who decided he had enough and led a walkout of other impressive and talented animators and created his own Don Bluth studio, where you would get this breakout movie. Later films like All Dogs Go to Heaven. There's tons and tons of Don Bluth movies.
All Dogs Go to Heaven might be the most commercially successful.
I think so, yeah.
I would say.
There's a bunch from Don Bluth, so if you're not familiar, give it a look up. It is well worth your time here. This particular movie is, it's really, really good, and it really covers like some pretty dark and a more adult-aimed subject matter, with particular emphasis on like the cruelty and the unexpected results of animal testing. And that was before people really started to speak out about animal testing in mass, like seeing a lot of like the PETA demonstrations and things we started to see a little later on, really championing the quality of life for animals. And right. this movie really pushed to the forefront a fantastical idea of what can happen when things are tested on animals, or things are just being done to unwilling subjects, right? Like it kind right. of goes through all of that, where it's like, it's not okay. No matter how much the advancements may bring to us as, you know, humans, it may not be worth the toll we're inflicting on other things right. if we don't do things in a careful and thoughtful and ethical way.
Well said.
And that being kind of done through a field mouse and some rats and a cat and a bird is like, who would have thought about this?
I don't know. I remember the rats looking very dark.
Yes, they're like scary. Bigger and they have white eyes because of the testing that was done. Mm. And there's an owl that looks really intimidating, and the lead rat who, oh man, I've been trying to think of his name the entire time and it's like on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna look it up really quick.
Look it up because I'll edit all this out.
It's
we're all just Garfield and friends.
Do, right? do, do, do.
Ba, 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 ba. The rooster was a dick.
Nicodemus.
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 Sounds evil.
I had the Demas at the end, and he's not. He's a good guy.
Sounds evil.
No, Nicodemus is the good guy. There is a bad guy, too, that I forget the name of as well, because clearly my brain is on point. He also has a mustache twirly name. Jenner.
Jenner.
Jenner. Mm. Yeah, Jenner sounds like a douche. And it's just so well, like you said, the animation is, this is what you're going to get. This is the peak for this time period.
For sure.
This is top-notch animation. The music's great. The thought put into this and the intention behind it is so stark, especially compared to kind of the airballs that Disney was putting out around this time period, where it's just like
right.
theatrical re-releases of movies that came out a decade ago.
Yeah.
And they were really struggling. Disney almost went under in the 80s.
Right.
And part of this was the walkout orchestrated by Don Bluth in order to get animators a fair wage, to have them treated as creatives, not just like essentially like just dedicated labor force.
Right.
And he went on to prove that, yeah, we have a lot to say and we can make a very thoughtful movie if left to our own devices. And then you'll get An American Tale and all those things that comes out of.
That's got to be the most.
It's, yeah, like all these things that come out of Don Bluth's studio later on. That's just, if you grew up in the 90s, early 2000s, and you kind of were like, get like shown this fair, these might be the VHS tapes you were picking out at Blockbuster, or the stuff you were watching on TV that came on in the afternoons as a movie. And you're like, these, you'll be surprised how much of them were Don Bluth.
There are no cats in America.
Oh, so good. So IMDb gives this one a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 68 of them, 93%.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience of 5,000 plus, 85%.
Very cool.
And I am right in line here with an 8.5 out of 10. This movie is solid, and you will be hard-pressed to find much better children's fare than this. So this is awesome stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that one. That's definitely one that I've been like, I should get that on there at some point.
Yeah, and it's one that Sam hadn't seen, and I was like, let me show you what...
Did she love it?
She thought it was really good.
Nice.
She was like, oh my God. Like, it was, you know what I mean? It's the National... NIM is the National Institute of Mental Health, and they were testing mental, like, treatments, like, for human patients on animals. And that's kind of what starts to happen to these... What? Like, yeah. This is not okay stuff.
No.
Yeah. Wild shit that they were doing. And Don Bluth has a voice and has the talent to back it.
For sure.
Awesome stuff.
Well, speaking of air balls, random movie generator, this is where it let me down.
Okay.
Although in the most humorous way, because we've mentioned this so many times on the podcast, but haven't done one of these movies. Are you ready for
it? I'm ready for it.
Are you ready for 1995's Slam Dunk Ernest?
Oh, baby. Slam Dunk Ernest.
To think that a random generator would want me to watch an Ernest movie.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern. So I watched this on March 4th, 2024. It's an hour 33. Comedy, family, sport. Directed by John R. Cherry III.
Of course.
Starring Jim Varney, Clyte Cozart, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Your IMDb movie summary. Ernest P. Worrell becomes a basketball star after an angel bearing an uncanny resemblance to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar gives him a pair of magic sneakers.
I remember this.
Yeah. Wow, these movies.
Yeah. This was on the later end of the Ernest slate.
Yeah, because he started early 80s with the series. I think it went up to 98 or 99 before he stopped, and then he would die a few years later.
Those movies fell off pretty hard. Yes. I remember it hit a point where it's like, I still have a soft spot for the Halloween one.
That one's, Scared Stupid.
And I know some of the earlier ones, like Goes to Jail and stuff, are actually pretty good.
Goes to Jail is one of my favorites just because I actually saw that one in the theater as well.
Goes to Camp.
Goes to Camp.
Camp is good. And then,
Camp's probably one of the better ones.
And then you get this end of the, like, once it's post-Scared Stupid. I mean, even right around that era, it just really started to be just junk.
But I will say, as silly as these are, and these are slapstick movies.
Yes.
He is such a fascinating person.
Yes.
He was like a millionaire. I don't even know why he did these movies. He didn't need to.
No.
He made the character, and he was originally in advertisements. He advertised for, 7,000 different products for people, and he was in commercials. And he was in the most, I think he still holds the record for being in the most commercials.
I believe that.
Ever by a character or person. And it was just the same character, this redneck character that's kind of dumb and kind of silly. And he had great facial features. And that's one of the better bits of this movie. They'll put the camera in such a weird angle to make him just look elongated and silly. And he leaned into it so hard.
No pride. He was just like, make me as ugly and unappealing as you want. It's cool.
Yep, and they sure did.
And he's not an ugly guy either.
No, he was a normal-looking dude.
Yeah.
John R. Cherry, the director, John R. Cherry III, is actually the advertising agent who discovered him and did all his commercials.
Oh, no shit.
And he ended up directing the bulk of these movies.
That makes sense.
So it's kind of interesting that this guy who just had a good vision for this character and probably made $1 million off of this with him would direct. So that's why these movies might seem a little bizarre.
They very much are.
Very much are, for sure.
The Ernest, collection of films is like its own thing you either really like them, you really dislike them, or like us, I think you cherry pick the ones that are
cherry the third pick.
The ones you like, because there's going to be something in there for you.
Yeah for sure. And it's funny, it's stupid, and it's just fun. It is kind of a lost art. I don't feel like we have films like this anymore for children.
No.
And I think there is some value there. I mean, but this one has like weird casual racism and stuff like that they're tackling.
Yeah.
I forget what they call him. They call him some type of cracker, and I was like, holy hell.
Yeah, that's not okay. This is supposed to be for children.
Right. But he's on a basketball team with the guys that he works at a mall, cleaning up the mall at the end of the night, and he's with these guys, and every time the mall closes, they just go to the basketball court that's in the center and just play basketball, and they're very good, and they want to win their local tournament, and whoever wins this local tournament gets to play the Charlotte Hornets in an exhibition match. They get there because of these magic shoes. There is a character in here that's very bizarre and very evil, and you do find out, I'll spoil this at the end, that he's the devil, but it's never made clear until the very end of this movie that him and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are just kind of like playing a game to see if they can get these people to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
It's wild.
But the devil's there the whole time just like messing with people, and you just think he's this creepy guy, and he gets very creepy, like uncomfortably creepy.
Right.
And to find out he's the devil almost made it better.
Yeah.
But like, oh, the devil's in this kid's movie.
Of course.
But this
Oh, Satan.
Oh, Satan. Not today. Or maybe today, Satan.
Maybe today.
Maybe today, Satan. I think that's where we're ending this. Yep. IMDb gave it a 4.5. No score on the critical side. 31% over on the audience side. Wife did not watch this with me, although she saw I was watching it. She goes, why are you watching this?
Good luck, Vern.
And I go, you know why. I gave it a 5.5. I think it's exactly as advertised, and I think it's a little more fun than it has any right to be.
Thanks, Slinky Dog.
Ah, oh, that's right.